This will all be over soon.
Oh, God. No. And now, you die.
No! Girls gotta eat.
Look at the blood.
You can't be real. No.
Nowhere to run.
No sleep tonight.
Hello again. And welcome to another episode of No Sleep Tonight. Tonight we bring you a very special episode on a very special night. It's Halloween night. And for our first Halloween episode, we decided to bring in the master of the Gleefully Macabre and four-time Bram Stoker Award finalist, Jeff Strand. Now, Jeff has written a very disturbing story. It's about a man who has a very sinister plan for a Halloween to remember. Now let me warn you, this tale is not for the faint of heart or for the sensitive soul. So if you feel you're not up for this journey into darkness, I suggest you turn your radio off right now. There, now that I've warned you, I would like, if I may, to tell you a story. A story called Bad Candy House.
I don't get how the whole razor blades and apples thing is supposed to work. Personally, I think it's just an urban legend. I mean, how can you even get a razor blade in there without leaving a big gash in the side of the apple? I mean, yeah, kids are morons, but they're gonna notice an inch-long cut in the side of their apple. I mean, I guess you could come in from the bottom, but I don't see how you can wedge the blade in far enough so that somebody would actually bite into it. And there's really no set biting pattern for an apple, so unless you lucked into a direct hit, the best you could hope for is a little nick on the lips, barely even worth the trouble. But most importantly, kids are gonna remember the cheap bastards who handed out apples instead of candy. Granted, an apple costs more than a fun-sized candy bar, but that's not the way they see it, and they'll bring the police right to your front door. It just wouldn't work. That's why I used arsenic. I inject it with a hypodermic needle in some of the popular chocolates, so even if parents check the candy, they're not going to notice the tiny holes, and the little cretins are sure to just pop those things right into their greedy little mouths. Dead kids. A Halloween present to myself. I wasn't ignorant. I knew I wouldn't be able to kill all of them. As soon as the first one croaked, there'd be mass hysteria all over town, and parents would be yanking the bags of candy away from their screaming brats. But I figured I could probably knock off a few of them before people started freaking out, and in a worst-case scenario where I only killed one, well, hell. At least I'd be responsible for everybody else's candy being taken away. Obviously, the candy would eventually be traced back to me, but that's fine. My Mildred died 2 months ago, and I really didn't have anything to live for. I would have blown my brains out that same night the stroke took her, except that it occurred to me that if I didn't have to worry about any consequences to my actions, well, then I could have one hell of an enjoyable Halloween. I was downright giddy. I even carved a jack-o'-lantern for the first time in 30 years. A jack-o'-lantern was actually the source of my very first journal entry about the holiday. October 31st, 1975. Those little bastards smashed my jack-o'-lantern. I hope they choke on their taffy. I had something for pretty much every year after that. October 31st, 1985. Those little shits toilet papered my entire front yard. I see them running away and laughing, and I went for my shotgun, but Mildred talked some sense into me. I sorta wish she hadn't. October 31st, 1995. Those little shits put a burning bag of dog crap on my porch. I'm not an idiot. I wasn't gonna just stomp on the thing, so I used the hose on it and put out the fire. It left burn marks on the wood that those little jackasses are gonna pay for, believe me. Then when I went to throw it away, the wet bag broke and spilled shit all over. I went for my shotgun, but Mildred had hidden the shells. I saw the kids, watching from across the street, and I gave them a verbal rant that they won't soon forget. I hate kids. October 31st, 2005. Those little Satanists egged the whole goddamn front of my house. One of them threw a damn ham and cheese omelet at my window. Can you believe that? A ham and cheese omelet! I swear to God, if Mildred hadn't pawned my shotgun, I'd be just sitting on that porch picking those little demons off one by one. Boom, splat! Boom, splat! Boom, splat! I hate Halloween. But I didn't hate Halloween this year. I couldn't wait to see what they tried. Eggs, toilet paper, burning bags of crap. Bring it on. This might be the last Halloween our sleepy little shithole town will enjoy ever again. At 6:44, the doorbell rang. Trick-or-treating was supposed to officially start at 7, but those greedy little bastards didn't care. I opened the door. Two kids were standing there, holding their candy bags out in front of them. One was in vampire makeup and the other wore a Spider-Man mask. I just stared at them. And they just stood there, too lazy to even say trick-or-treat. Why don't kids say trick-or-treat anymore? Was the process of securing Halloween candy so difficult that they had to figure out a way to cut down on the manual labor of actually asking for it? These kids today have such a feeling of entitlement that they can't even be bothered to say those three little words. They didn't even say hi. They just looked at me, slack-jawed, as if they didn't have two brain cells to rub together. To be fair, I couldn't see the kid's face under his Spider-Man mask, but I don't think it's unreasonable to assume that he looked like his vampire buddy. I picked two chocolates from the bowl next to the door and dropped one into each of their bags. Enjoy. That's what I said. But I wanted to add, your upcoming death, but wisely didn't. I wondered if they'd even realize the chocolate tasted funny, or if they'd just gobble it down too fast to even notice.
Mommy, I don't feel so good.
You just had too much Halloween candy, honey.
But my stomach hurt.
Well, maybe you've learned a lesson for next year. Oh my God! You're vomiting blood! You're vomiting blood! Mike, come quick!
Jesus, Tracy, what did she eat? What did you let her eat?
It wasn't my fault, you son of a bitch!
You let her eat all the fucking chocolate!
I hate you! I hate you! I hate... Her tongue just fell out! It just fell right out of her mouth!
9 minutes later, the doorbell rang again. Two teenage girls were there. They looked way too old to be trick-or-treating and were probably just collecting candy to sell for drug money. Not only did they not say trick-or-treat, but the spoiled little debutantes weren't even wearing costumes. You can't have candy without a costume.
We are in costume.
What are you supposed to be?
I'm Paris Hilton, and she's Jessica Simpson.
Paris Hilton. Shouldn't you be having sex on a webcam somewhere?
You're such a perv.
I'm not the one dressing up like a slut.
Well, thank God for that.
All right. Here's your candy. Great costumes. You look just like them. Now go away.
I'm going to tell my parents about you. They lock away creeps like you.
I probably shouldn't have harassed them. If their parents did come over and cause problems, I might not get to distribute enough of the chocolates. But it was fun. The flood of kids started a few minutes after that. I smiled, politely, complimented their costumes, and enjoyed merry thoughts about their upcoming deaths. I fantasized about horrified parents having to walk around the bodies littering the streets, unable to cross the street without accidentally stepping on another corpse. I knew it wouldn't happen quite like that, but it was fun to pretend. A mother showed up, holding a baby in her arms. The baby had kitten whiskers drawn on its face and wore a pair of fake feline ears. It was too young to even hold the plastic pumpkin by itself. The mother held it instead. Did she think a baby could appreciate the holiday? I dropped a poison chocolate into the pumpkin. A mother, stupid enough to give chocolate to a baby, deserved whatever happened. I'd given out about half of the bowl when three kids showed up at my door. They were all tall enough to be teenagers, although their identical skeleton masks hid their faces.
Trick or treat, give me candy, old man.
Oh, that's real clever. You make that up yourselves?
You gonna give us candy, or what?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you the candy, all right? I dropped one in each of their bags. Happy Halloween. Suddenly, all three of them pulled out squirt guns, and before I could react, they squirted me in the face. I slammed the door and cursed loudly. You bastards! I cursed even louder as the smell made it abundantly clear that the squirt guns weren't filled with water.
You hellspawn sons of bitches!
I rushed to the kitchen sink and turned on the faucet. If I weren't planning to kill myself tonight, I would have gone to the police station first thing in the morning and demanded DNA testing on the urine. This was exactly why they all needed to die. You couldn't shoot a man in the face with bodily fluids and expect to live through the night. Rotten bastards. Brats. I hated them all. I wished I could just walk through their homes, spraying piss-scented arsenic into their wide-open mouths. Maybe I wouldn't kill myself tonight. Maybe I'll stay alive long enough to enjoy their fatal reaction to my treats. Hell, maybe I'd go on the run for a few days, but return for their funerals. I could even walk up to their dead bodies in their open caskets and squirt them in the face. Good times. I ignored the next couple of doorbell rings while I thoroughly washed my face with soap. My left eye stung a bit, and a drop or two seemed to have gone up one of my nostrils, but at least none had made it into my mouth. Nice and clean. I returned to my door-answering duties. The next kid actually said the magic words and politely thanked me for his chocolate, so I hoped that he'd hear about the other deaths before he ate the piece I'd given him. I was almost out of candy and ready to shut down for the night, when somebody rang the doorbell over and over. Officially, trick-or-treating was supposed to end at 9 o'clock. And it was 9:03, so I felt that I'd be justified in punching this little shithead in the face. I opened the door and saw a kid in a skeleton mask. The same mask those other three kids had been wearing. I wasn't sure if he'd been part of that group, but I hated him anyway.
Trick or treat.
Yeah, whatever. I was watching his hands very carefully to make sure he didn't whip out a squirt gun. I dropped one of the last pieces of candy into his bag. Happy Halloween. The kid didn't move. Something you want? The kid just stood there, staring silently at me. I don't mind admitting that it was more than a little creepy. You've got your candy. Now go on. Get back home. More silence. More staring. I put my hand on the edge of the door so I could slam it in his face.
Do you know who I am?
No. Who are you?
I am the one beneath the mask. I am the one who sees all.
Get the hell off my porch.
I know your secrets, Raymond. You cannot escape what you have done.
I haven't done shit.
Do you wish to gaze under my mask?
Go away, you little freak.
Or do you fear what hides beneath?
He shook his head, slowly and deliberately.
You must confront what you have done, Raymond. Remove my mask. Look behind the disguise.
What the hell is going on here? Something about this kid. I mean, it was a kid, right? He made me extremely uncomfortable. I didn't want to touch his mask. I just wanted him to leave. And yet, I felt myself reaching out and touching the cool plastic. I started to lift the mask. And then a warm stream of piss got me right in the goddamn lips.
Sucker.
I stumbled backwards as the son of a bitch squirted me again. I'm an old man, but unspeakable rage does a lot for one's ability to move fast. I rushed forward, ignoring the third squirt that got me in the hair, and I grabbed this kid by the collar. I dragged him inside, threw him in the living room floor, and then slammed the front door.
It was just a joke.
A joke, huh? Then shouldn't at least one of us be laughing?
I don't know.
Isn't that part of what makes a joke a joke? What if I made you squirt yourself in the mouth? Would that be funny?
No.
Are you sure? I think it would be hilarious. I'd bust a gut. Give me the squirt gun. The kid quickly tossed me the squirt gun. I pointed it at him and pulled the trigger. But it was almost empty, and only a few drops trickled out, landing on my shoes and carpet. This did not improve my mood. Take off the mask. He quickly pulled off the skeleton mask and threw it aside. He was one terrified-looking kid. I approved of that. He looked about 16 and was making a valiant but ineffective attempt to grow a mustache. Did you egg my house last year?
No.
Liar!
I didn't.
The kids started to get back up, but I pounced upon him. I was pleased with my own strength as I grabbed him by the ears and I slammed his head against the floor over and over until he stopped moving. I checked his pulse. Not dead. Good. I hurried into the kitchen, opened the drawer where I kept random junk, and I got a roll of duct tape. Quickly, before he could regain consciousness, I taped his wrists together and his feet together. The doorbell rang during this process, but I ignored it. I woke him up with a slap to the face. What's your name?
Gary.
Gary, why did you make the decision to squirt me in the face with urine? Did you think that was a nice thing to do?
It wasn't my idea.
Was it your urine?
No.
Now, I'm sure you wouldn't lie about such a thing. I'll be right back. I returned to the kitchen and got a carton of eggs out of the fridge. Then, I walked back into the living room, set the carton on the coffee table, opened the lid, and held up one of the eggs to show Gary. For true revenge, this thing should be rotten. But I don't want to keep you in my house long enough for these to go bad. I threw the egg at him as hard as I could. It splattered on his chest. I'd been aiming for his face, but that was okay. I pelted him with the rest of the eggs, feeling a rush of adrenaline with each throw. He laid there, covered with yolk and eggshells, and it was one of the most beautiful sights I'd ever witnessed. Next, I grabbed some spare rolls of toilet paper out of the closet. I wrapped him up like a mummy, kicking him a few times when he struggled too much. I didn't have any dog crap handy. In theory, there was no rule saying that a dog had to be involved, and I briefly considered another option, but then I decided that I had too much dignity. Besides, I figured that the kid himself was nothing more than a piece of crap, so why not treat him that way? Oh, he screamed good when I lit him on fire. Even though it was Halloween and people were used to kids screaming, I knew he'd attract unwanted attention before too long. As he flailed around on the ground, burning and screaming, I noticed his head bore a striking resemblance to one of my old jack-o'-lanterns that those kids had smashed. A few blows with the baseball bat, and he resembled it even more. I sat down on the couch to relax. I got so caught up in staring at his body that the arrival of the police took me by surprise.
Freeze. Don't move.
Oh my God, Lon, is that what I think it is?
Jesus Christ. Marty, get a blanket on that kid. Quick.
They carted me away and put me under 24-hour surveillance. So my whole plan to kill myself was botched. Sadly, I hadn't planned for police intervention this soon, and so I really hadn't covered my tracks. They discovered the syringe and arsenic and quickly went door to door telling people not to eat any Halloween candy. I have to admit, knowing that I'll spend the rest of my life in prison is nowhere near as appealing as suicide. I keep trying to get a rope or knife or something, but the guards are watching me good. I guess I won't be seeing Mildred anytime soon. The worst part is that, as a prank, the guards keep toilet papering my cell. They've also hung up Halloween decorations. And the worst of them, Steve, he just loves to knock on the bars and say,
"Happy Halloween, asshole!"
That said, I'd do it all over again if I could. It was still the best Halloween of my life.
And there you have it. A dark and sinister warning for all you trick-or-treaters out there. Evil lurks in all forms, and not everyone is who or what they seem. This story by Jeff Strand is the work of fiction, as are all the stories here on No Sleep Tonight. But the warning is all too real. So be safe out there, kiddies. Bad Candy House starred the voice talents of James Michael Roddy, Jennifer Yeomans Davis, Alan Applegate, Jason Hannay, Caroline Cotillo, Emily Padone, Maddie Leanne, Jaden Lowe, and yours truly, with special guests Jeff Rector and Tom Savini. The story again was written by four-time Bram Stoker Award finalist Jeff Strand and is included in his short story collection, Gleefully Macabre Tales, which can be found on Amazon.com and Jeff's official site, jeffstrand.com. So make sure to subscribe to our channel and stay tuned for another bone-chilling tale that is sure to provide no sleep tonight.